Hey, welcome to the Gospel Rant. I'm Dr. Bill Sinney, and I'm with my youngest daughter, Allison. We're going through the Enneagram, and we're at number 7. Hello again, Allie.
Hi, it's me.
Yeah, this is about the 4th take. We're starting very slowly. My bad, but I think we're good on this one, okay? So how are you?
I'm doing fine. I apologize for the tone of my voice. I am very stopped up because of my southeastern allergies.
Typical for the southeast, right?
Very much so.
All right. Well, hey, let's get into the 7s. I'm reading from The Road Back to You, an Enneagram Journey to Self-Discovery. And the author starts off every chapter, every Enneagram, with a list of what it's like to be. So here we go. Here is the what it's like to be a 7. Number 1. I'm always the first person up for the last-minute adventure. 2, I'm an optimist to a fault. 3, I don't like making hard and fast commitments to things. 4, I suffer from FOMO, fear of missing out. 5, anticipation is the best part of life. 6, people close to me say I can be argumentative and act superior. That one sort of sticks out so far. 7, variety and spontaneity are the spice of life. 8, sometimes I get so eager for the future, I can hardly wait for it to get here. 9, it's hard for me to finish things. When I get close to the end of a project, I start thinking about the next thing. And then I get so excited, I sometimes just move on. 10, I usually avoid heavy conversations and confrontations. 11, when people I care about are having a hard time, I help them look at the bright side of the situation. 12, other people think I am sure of myself, but I have lots of doubts. 13, I'm popular and have lots of friends. 14, when things get too serious for too long, I usually find a way to get people to lighten up, often by telling jokes and funny stories. 15, I don't like endings, so I usually wait for people to break up with me. Oh my goodness. 16, I quickly get bored with the same routine and like to try new things. 17, almost everything can be more fun and entertaining with a little bit of effort. 18, I think people worry more than they should. 19, life is better than people imagine. It's all about how you explain the things to yourself. And 20, I don't like it when people have expectations of me. The enthusiast, he calls them. And he quotes Peter Pan, which I think is perfect. Just think of happy things and your heart will fly on wings. So tell me about 7s.
Yeah, I think you summed it up pretty well. I think they are often thought of as like the carefree fun seeker of the group, who is often the first person to volunteer to go on an adventure. They're in the fear triad, but typically they're known as the people who are looking for that adrenaline rush. So they're jumping into the situation that might scare people. They do
Is that to get
things.
Rid of the fear? Is that to cover up the fear?
I guess what I'm more thinking of is like stereotypical fearful activities. So it's like, oh, like jumping or skydiving or something like that, where I don't necessarily think a 7 is afraid of that. So they're distracting themselves from real
right.
pain.
Internal fear,
which
or
typically is internal fear. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast today where the fear manifested as like a fear of abandonment. They wanted to be the lightest one in the room so that they would always be desired. So there's that fear of missing out.
FOMO.
And if you're right, if you're seen as a burden, you would miss out. Like you wouldn't be asked there.
Right.
So you don't want to commit to something because what if something better comes along? Oftentimes, like if something gets too painful or like you can leave or change the subject or make jokes out of things. And 7s are really fun to be around is kind of their MO. Yeah. And again, maturity looks like 7s addressing pain and being able to recognize when they're using fun and excitement as a way to distract or when they're truly excited about something.
And we all do this a little bit, probably.
Well, we all have coping mechanisms, right?
Right.
I think our fears and our, which is true with all the Enneagram, we can all look a certain way and every number can reflect different aspects of every number. But it's what is motivating your every action.
The author wrote back to you, says somewhere that this is the number he would like to be. Because they're here he goes, I want to be a seven. When healthy, they might be my favorite number on the Enneagram. Sevens embody joy and a boundless love for life.
Yeah, sevens are fun.
And yet he spends most of the chapter talking about cover-ups and denial. An average seven, he said, reframe almost everything that is sad, limiting or could be perceived as failure, changing the narrative so that even the most negative events are recast in an affirming way.
Right. Well, it's almost like a whole personality built around the whole ignorance is bliss, or like if you didn't talk about it, it didn't happen, right? So naming it gives it power.
You've just described denial.
Right. Yeah. So something terrible can happen. But if I can go discover a bunch of new things, then when I think back on that memory, I think about all these new things I discovered, not about the incredible loss I experienced or, you can really enjoy life that way, right? Until you realize tragedy or trauma that is truly at the root of a lot of it.
I mentioned as we were talking before we went live, he says that one of the famous sevens is Robin Williams. And this book was written before his tragic suicide, which really cast him in a different light. I mean, who was more funny and freewheeling and exciting and could always find the funny, could find funny in anything. Right. And yet underneath, it turns out he had a dark side that only few people knew about.
Right.
He also mentions Mozart, but it is a Peter Pan kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think, every number has an aspect that we all should hope to grow in some sort of way. Yeah. And I do think the sevens have like this sweet joyousness, joy. Mm-hmm. It's just joy about them.
Joy, joyability, joyousness. pick one.
Joyosity.
Well, listen to this. He says, scratch the vibrant paint on the surface of a seven and what you'll find underneath is the need to avoid pain. I can't say this strongly enough. Sevens don't want to feel unpleasant emotions, particularly that swirl of fear and emptiness they register at their core. No one enjoys feeling frightened, sad, bored, angry, disappointed, or frustrated. But for these sevens, emotions like these are intolerable. Phew.
Yeah.
And real life, Paul says in Romans 8:22, all creation groans. It's all of us.
Right.
I mean, we all have things that we want to avoid thinking about or talking about. We all have those dark sides that we hope nobody sees.
Right.
But the sevens have figured out a way to process that.
Well, and I wonder too if, and I'm sure it's different for each person, but if it's a conscious, I'm doing this to push down this particular pain, or if it becomes so subconscious that you're not aware that you're in pain, right? Like everything is just exciting.
Right.
And so it takes a lot of digging. Like somebody, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about like sevens in counseling and often like making jokes and counselors or therapists being like, well,
oh my gosh. Yep.
Like,
oh, I do it.
Right. Like what are,
oh my
what's
gosh.
Really happening here?
Yeah.
Because you make light of the situation so often that you forget that there's anything else except for lightness.
Yep. The counselors have pointed out, Bill, stop making jokes.
Yeah.
What? I was making a joke. That was, I get that. I totally understand that.
Yeah.
That was, for me, it's definitely a defensive mechanism. I don't think I'm a seven, but I get it.
Yeah.
He writes that sevens are vulnerable to addiction because it just fits the pattern.
Well, it's needing that next hit, right? Yeah. So if you can get that next hit of dopamine, if you can, feel good.
Justify it to your brain.
Moment.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, sevens are those people that can really quickly begin to rationalize those kind of things and probably do it really well.
Right.
And make you feel joyful while they're doing it.
Right.
And convince you, oh, yes, go ahead. Jump out the plane. You know?
Right. Yeah, because I'm sure it's hard to be actively concerned about a seven.
Right.
Because they never meet you there, right? Like they're constantly reassuring you. Right. Like, no.
And they're smiling and laughing and come on, let's do this.
Yeah.
He mentioned sevens in childhood. And it's interesting. He says this, if you succeed at getting sevens to open up about their childhood, they will describe times when they were made to feel overwhelmed or abandoned and without support. There really are wounds, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
That their brain is doing what our brains were made to do, and that's to deal with the pain.
Yeah. However you can.
However you can. And they use optimism. Mm-hmm. They use excitement and joy and laughter and, like you said, jumping out of planes and doing exciting things. And you're right. Dopamine works.
Yeah.
What are the wings for sevens?
Either a 6 or an 8. So according to Enneagram Institute, and it just has a title, but the 7-wing 6 would be the entertainer. So you think more of like the comedian type where you can laugh at your fears and anxieties, but you're not ever addressing them. And then the 7-wing 8 is, they say, the realist. So I honestly, I don't know many true sevens.
Oh, is that right? In your teaching, did you see some sevens in your classes?
Well, I don't like to type people who are not claiming it for themselves.
Cool. Come on, let's do it.
Flash when, like, it's always a little bit fun, but I don't want to type people that are like kids, is the other thing, because they're like, they're developing their personality. So you don't want to like put a label on
it. Fair enough. All right.
Yeah, but I would say like the 7-wing 8 is probably much more assured in there, or takes leadership in there. I'm going to go do this. This is what I need, you know? So like
follow
leading.
Me.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess more forthright in there. I'm going to avoid this mentality. And I'm not an expert on that. I know. So in growth or in security, the 7 goes to 5. And the way the Enneagram Institute described it was this almost like being uniquely intrigued with life. So when they're in a good headspace, they can truly appreciate the intricacies of life. Like a 5 would be researching under the hood kind of thing. A 7 has that mentality in life when they're in this healthy place.
They could process some of the wounds.
Right. In stress, they go to the unhealthy side of a 1, which would be the overly critical self-critic, which seems like kind of an opposite thing, right? But it's when a 7 gets overwhelmed, they're going to all of a sudden start nitpicking. So it's going to come this like lack of commitment. And you can imagine a lack of true intimacy, right? Turns into what's wrong with me.
But I'm going to blame you. Yeah, he says stress. They become pessimistic, judgmental, and argumentative. They start blaming others for their problems and lapse into black and white thinking. Where did that come from?
Well, that's when the pain pops out, right?
When they finally realize that they've been covering things up. And so the way they deal with that pain is to blame you.
Yeah.
Again, we all do it. That's the one.
Yeah. The black and white thinking.
But in this case, it's not my imperfections that I'm looking at and want to repair. It's yours.
Right.
And if I could just make you see that, I would feel joy again. Mm-hmm. What we're describing here are some of the characteristics that the caricatures of millennials. One person said that one of the events that has shaped millennials is the 2008 recession, which was horrible and scary and frightening. And a lot of their parents lost jobs. The older millennials couldn't get jobs, and you know that was the 30% living in your parents' basement, and so they were scared, and should be. I mean, I'm not judging that. And so what many have shifted to is, well, then I'm just going to have excitement. I'm going to travel. I'm going to do things that I wanted to do.
YOLO.
YOLO, and. And then who that makes sense to me. I could definitely draw a line between those two dots, but the fear is still there. So when we're ministering now, you know, now half the population in the United States is Gen Y and Gen Z, millennials and Gen Z, half the population. We church leaders are wondering how the gospel can make a difference. And by difference, I think it looks something like this, is there's joy that's a fruit of the Spirit, but it's a joy that deals and admits and begins to preach the gospel to pain, to wounds, to sorrows, to disappointments, to betrayals, to unforgivenesses. It seems like the gospel, perfect love casts out fear. If I'm actually feeling adored as I am, I can actually take the time and be bold about looking at that wound. But that's a power of the gospel. That's not just a choice, because like you said, it's largely subconscious. It's a muscle that I don't control.
Right.
But if a seven or a one or a two or a three or a five or a six could actually begin to feel, if they're a Christian, the Holy Spirit in them makes them feel how honored, how proud of them God is, they would be in that safe place to actually go, all right, why am I doing this over the top? Why am I appearing unempathetic because I'm into YOLO? It seems like we should be all over this with the gospel, for all the numbers, by the way, and in stress situations. Mm-hmm. The gospel should be all over this. But we just don't know how to apply it. Like, we haven't.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the hardest things about a seven is, at least for me, what if they don't realize they're not satisfied? You know, like,
they just keep going.
If you're living in this constant state of bliss, you know,
yep. Or chasing bliss.
Right.
And I think it's the same.
Yeah. And I think I've said this to you before, but like, if there's a kid on the street eating a sandwich, I'm not going to not like that he found on the street. I'm not going to knock it out of his hand unless I have something better to give him, you know? And so I think a lot of this like mentality of the sevens also comes from my own belief of like, I need to realize how sweet what I have to offer is. And is it better than what this person is experiencing? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes they've found something super sweet, right? Like
it's even working.
Even if it's a distraction, like they feel good right now.
More than surviving.
So who am I to be like, hey,
yeah,
you need something more.
Right.
You're like,
right.
What?
Yeah, give me that.
I'll do great.
Give me that right. So you can focus on your wounds.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think the goal is like, hey, don't you want to talk about pain? Don't you, like bringing right. that up. But yeah, but also recognizing like that pain is real. Learning how to address it often comes with like a huge reality check and makes me ask the question, is what I have better than this sweet thing that they're experiencing?
The Road Back to You guy nails this one. Sometimes I'm critical of where he goes with this spiritually, but he nails this one, I think. He says the healing message sevens need to hear and believe is God will take care of you.
Yeah.
I'd go even stronger. If they're Christians, I would say the message they need to really experience and be assured of, more than just know, feel, experience, get, is God loves you as you are, and he's got this. And that takes a miracle, because the brain holds onto these wounds. I mean, it gets shoved down in our memory, the hippocampus, and you just can't go, okay, I'm going to stop being afraid of that wound.
Right.
I'm not going to have mommy and daddy issues anymore. I mean it this time. Yeah, good luck with that. So I'm with you and this is back to the simple uncluttered gospel. Mm-hmm. If I'm a seven, I'm not, but if I am a seven and I'm pushing, I can't be bored, I'm looking for that next high, I'm a little bit non-empathetic because I'm focused on my excitement. I'm stressing as a seven, and I can hear God say, Jesus follower, strictly because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, God loves you. He has to. He loves you as you are. Much as the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and you can't add to it or take away from it, and you can experience it more, feel it more if you just ask the Holy Spirit in you to give you power to make you feel it. Yeah, I think that would be a healing message.
Yeah.
And a healing rebirth.
Well, it would add to my joy. That,
yeah.
It would be infectious.
Right. And the fear would drop down a little bit, not perfect this side of heaven. The joy, fruit of the Spirit, would go up a little bit, not perfect this side of heaven. But they might be able to sit silently a little longer.
Yeah.
They might be willing to finish a task a little quicker, a little easier. They may be a little more satisfied. Sit with other people. And we've done the same thing with all of the numbers. We're not picking on seven. All right. Any closing comments on sevens? Other than we should always have a seven, at least one in our posse. Otherwise, it's going to be pretty boring. See, I need to go out and recruit people. I mean, I need to go send out an ad looking for...
You should.
Seven.
Because I don't know what it's like to be a seven.
I'm not a seven either. Any closing comments?
I always am honored when people confuse me as a seven.
Yeah.
I think very highly of.
Yeah, I haven't been confused to be a seven for a long time. I gotta work on some stuff. All right, hey, so that's we've run a little bit long. That's okay. It was a good conversation. This is Gospel Rant. I'm Bill Sinyard, and I was with my daughter, Allison Sinyard. We'll be back next time to look at the Enneagram number 8. We only have 2 left, Allie. That's good. We've been getting good comments about the series. All right, so we'll see you next time on the Gospel Rant.
Hello, my name is Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we're the host of Life After Addiction Podcast. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, check us out, Life After Addiction Podcast, and you can subscribe at lifeaudio.com.